So obviously we've been talking about Easter and for the past last week and then our early Easter service, I've been sharing the verse, John 14:6, where Jesus answered and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me." And for the past couple of weeks, we've been asking the question, talking about everyone is seeking truth, everyone is seeking a way, and everyone is seeking life, but are they seeking the way, the truth, and the life? I was making my daily Sonic run. Don't judge me. I can't help it that Fairgrove or Stratford can't figure out who needs a Sonic. And I don't go there for food, but if you, they've got, just a little FYI, their app is the best out of all the fast food apps. And so I don't get something to eat, but my wife's drink app and my drink are all on there. And if I'm in a 50-mile radius of Sonic on the way home, usually we have to get that right. So anyway, I was studying for the sermon. I had to go to my satellite office, Panera Bread. And when I got a text, I got a call from, I won't say his name, but Lou. And he asked if I got the sermon done. And I said, "I'm still working on it, but I made him pray for me." You know, your pastor likes to be prayed for too, and I know you do, but it's kind of good when I actually hear you pray some time with me in the room. And Lou's prayer was great. And then in the middle of that, I saw a text that I needed to go to Sonic for my wife. And so anyway, I was going by Sonic, and I'm in line, and my order's already ordered. So you just go through, "Hey, order for Russell, you know who I'm at." My wife goes so many times, they just, I think she just shows up in the parking lot and they bring it out to her. But anyway, so I'm sitting there and contemplating deeply on the sermon, been talking about he's the way, the truth, and the life. And I happen to look to my right against the wall, and there's the sign of Sonic and their ice cream. Now, I don't like their ice cream. I'm an ice cream snob. If you like it, that's your fault. But it said Sonic, ice cream, and real life. I've been preaching on Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," and he didn't say anything about ice cream. And I thought to myself, how many times do people miss what life is really about? Amen. That it's down to the fact that cruddy Sonic ice cream is real life. And we won't get into Wendy's and Frosties. My wife is a chocolate Frosty, and I tried to order a vanilla. Well, we get along, but that's where we can fight. We got a chocolate Frosty. Anyway, so the life, that it gets down to that. That you will settle for cruddy ice cream. That's real life. And the question I have for you today, what life are you seeking? Life is unpredictable. Life is uncertain. Life is hard. And a lot of people are not really living. They're just surviving at that. And they're definitely not thriving. And sometimes they may think they're thriving, but by whose standards? We can choose a life, or we can choose the life. And this Easter and this day of new life, your action step and your points are going to spell out the word life, but your action step to think about this week is live the life. And when I use the life, I would probably capitalize T, and I'd capitalize the L and put in parentheses, I am talking about Christ. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself up for me. A lot of people think they're really living life. And so let's go to the Easter account. Let's go to the road to Emmaus. The disciples, they had 3 years of ministry. We had Passion Week. It started out great, ended bad. And now they're at Monday. They're Monday, Resurrection Sunday for us. And they're scattered to their own way. They're following their own truth, and they're going back a lot to their own life. Their faith was real, but it was disturbed, it was troubled. They were not seeking the way, they were not seeking the truth, and they're definitely not living a life. They were going a different way, they were following again their truth, and they were living a life. What was the problem? Because they couldn't see God, they couldn't see God in the real life circumstances. And in these circumstances, God has allowed darkness in their lives. And he lets it be dark in our circumstances. He places us there. And in our desolation, you say, "Well, what a mean God that we're in the dark and We're having issues, and nothing was working in the actual things of their life. Think about it. They all scattered. They all were hiding. They were going back to whatever. And God does this, and we don't choose it, but God engineers our circumstances so that we can be brought to the light. If we think we can handle something, we don't need God. And then when we can't handle something, we seek God. That's not bad, but guess what? Spoiler alert. I've been talking about sheep lately, and God uses sheep all the time as examples to describe us, because my father-in-law wants to say sheep are stupid and dumb. I want to be nice, but sheep are helpless, and they're high maintenance. They have to have a shepherd, and spoiler alert, that's who we all are. We don't need God just in the bad times. We need Him, period. And so until we go through these dark times and these circumstances, our faith is based on, well, God blessed me, and God gave me this. Those are all good. And if everything's going well, I must be doing something right. Really? We're in a very broken world, and bad things do happen to good people. Until we go through it, our faith is based on our feelings and our blessings, and this is the American Christianity that we are living in today. Our faith has to be lived out in real life. Our faith is worked out when we are scattered, when we are in desolation, in order that we know to dying to ourselves and living to the life, Jesus Christ. We've got to get to the point where the only way to look is up. What was happening? Their faith, the disciples, was being worked out in real time, in real life. And they're on the road of life, and they're trying to find life. Everybody's seeking the truth. Everybody's seeking a way. Everybody's seeking a life. God built that into us for relationship with Him, but Satan counterfeits. And so we go from one saccharine thing to another. It's like the bubblegum balls in my office. And kids, you draw a picture of Jesus, you can have one afterwards. And you know, as adults, one, they'll break your teeth, and two, the sugar, because I have a huge sugar tooth, the sugar lasts basically 1.2 seconds, okay? Not that I've timed it, but anyway, but the point is this: that's what we do when we don't go after the real thing, the real life. They were on the road. They were getting ready to come to a crossroad, talking about the two that were on the road to Emmaus, but that's the road of life, and we're going to come to a crossroad, and the cross provides the way to life. The cross shows who God is. The cross shows God's nature, and anyone who wishes to find life and live the life must take the way of the cross. Christ took it for us first. He did the hard work. The cross is the way of the truth, the crucifixion, the death of life, defeated death, and gave us a way to life. And all of us can come to Christ, come to God through Christ because of the cross. We can go boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. Until Christ is Lord, we are not really living the life that He designed for us. We are serving our ends, we're serving our faith, we're serving our way, we're serving our truth. Sound familiar? That's original sin. This is where the disciples were that day. The first resurrection day, they were on the road, they were on a road of life, but they weren't looking for the life. And this is where everyone's at. This is what we need to realize. Everyone is seeking the truth. Everyone is seeking a way. Everyone is seeking a life, but they're not seeking the way, the truth, the life, Jesus Christ. And so they've got that hunger, and it's not being filled. Your first villain, they had a right desire, because to live the life, you have to be looking for the life. Now, a lot of times they're not looking for Christ, but that's where we can start. That may be where you're at today. You're tired of seeing all this decay, all this death, all this destruction. That brings us to Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15 right now. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. Man, the depth that we see here. So they're heading to a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, which means warm waters. And I don't know if that's because of the aqueducts, if they were around there, and by the time the water got there, because that's the Laodicea's problem, is by the time the water got to the town, it was warm. Could have been a place for baths and things like that for healing. But whatever thing, after they had met the life Jesus Christ, and now what they're left with is that he's dead and gone, they are going back to something comfortable, something warm, a mental health day or whatever you want to call it. They're licking their wounds. They're discussing everything from the past 3 years to the past week to what do we do now? And you get to 15. I want you to understand this, Christians. I keep telling you this. Most people come to Christ through a long-term conversation with people. We see God do this with the disciples, that he places them where people are having the discussions of life. And we see Paul on Mars Hills. We need to enter the discussions of life. And notice, it's not like I'm going to go to him. He comes to us. And so they're discussing. And now they're arguing. And they're asking a lot of questions. And nobody ever argues about, hey, what happens after we die? Or, hey, who's in charge? Or all these kind of things. And so they're discussing, they're arguing, and then we see the questions of life. And isn't that awesome? Christ enters that. Verses 17 and 18 says this. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you're walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in those days? So I want you to understand this. People are asking questions. They're having discussions. What's happened with Christians is I don't want to enter that. I don't want to be identified. I want to be uncovered. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Even if you're trying to hide it, you can't. People are asking questions. Yes, it's been an easier time. But guess what? We're not there anymore. And we need to enter those discussions. And we need to listen to those questions. We need to be Christ entering their conversation of life, listening to their story. And so when we listen to their story, then he asks them the question, what are you arguing about? As they were walking, as they were going. It's kind of funny. It's like, where have you been? Under a rock? It's like some of you that get into the news a little too much. And I listen to the news, and I wait, and I don't let it control my life. Nothing wrong with the news, but you need to go with God's word before that. You need to be more into that. But sometimes I don't hear about something, and now suddenly hear about, well, really? You don't know anything about that or whatever? And so I think it's funny here that, you know, where have you been? Under a rock? Haven't you heard the big news that Jesus has been here for 3 years and performing miracles, raised from the dead? He was taught to be the next Messiah, and then now he's been crucified and everyone is scattered. The life, Jesus Christ asked what they are arguing about. He enters their dispute, their life. They stop, they look discouraged, they're sad, they're grieved. They question him, and they couldn't see the life. Yes, he was preventing it from them, because he was waiting for letting them work this out. But they couldn't see the light because of their grief and their sorrow and their discouragement. Sometimes we can be like that. He entered their life. He walked with them. Just like the 23rd Psalm talks about God walking through us in all areas of our lives. And the life Christ entered their life, and he began to question and ask, listen and answer the questions of life. The life Christ continue to ask them questions. Go to verse 19. What things? He asked them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our church, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day, and since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, and it was just as the woman had said. And I have this highlighted, but they didn't see him. What things, Jesus asks, the truth, the way, the life, these things he's talking about. And, you know, in 19, they talk about, they got it right. You know, he was a prophet and in speech and in action. And then verses 20 through 25, he shows the way, you know, that he was sentenced to death. But yet he talked about that he would rise again. But they believed in the resurrection. But now this is the third day and it's getting towards the end of the day. And so if he doesn't rise, then he must not be true. And then 22 through 24, we see the life. And they went to the tomb, and he wasn't there, and the ladies met him. But then again, they said to him, but they didn't see him. Other disciples went. They had the truth, they knew the way, but they couldn't see the life. And then that's the questions. And now the answer of life. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Look at verses 25 through 27. Amen. He said to him, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the scriptures concerning himself and all the scriptures. So notice what he does. When we decide to pursue, to live the life, you've got to let the life, Jesus Christ, correct your falsehoods. Because you're going the wrong way, you're following the wrong truth, and you're living a life, not the life. And you've got to allow his word. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to correct you. And so he corrected them. He showed them their foolishness, their misunderstanding. He answered and he reminded them. And he gave a reason for the hope that they could have, as Peter talks about. And then he connected it all together from Genesis to this very point. The Bible all connects, and from Genesis on points to the coming of the life, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your next fill-in, we live the life, we find the life. In the questions of life, we can find the life. This scares a lot of people. As a pastor, whether you want to believe it or not, I get a lot of questions. They can be simple or they can be hard. Now, a lot of times, I don't know that I ever say I don't know, but I will say I'll have to look at that or whatever. But the thing about it is, that's kind of normally what I deal with. But spoiler alert, Christians, people find the way, following the truth and living the life. You're in a society that's going to ask a lot of questions, and they're going to have the wrong answers. And you need to listen to their questions. You need to see where they're getting that from. And you need to understand from now on, when they're asking questions, that's a good thing. Yesterday or a couple of days ago, I had a message on Facebook from somebody that when I ministered in the church in Oklahoma, I left that church in 06. And that's probably the last time I talked to them, not because I was bad or anything. But they were texting me about the fact that they were dealing with someone with questions and they needed a direction to go. That's how you need to be, Christians. Don't be scared of the questions, because guess what? They're talking. You're having the conversation. Take your time. And we need to understand that in the questions of life, we can find the life. And if you know Jesus Christ, you have that life in you. And they're attracted to it, and that's why they're talking to you. Don't be scared of the questions. As we go on the road of life, the questions of life, we come to a crossroad. Look at verses 28 through 31. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave an impression that he was going further. But they urged him, stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And it was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to him. And then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And he wasn't playing it. cat and mouse game. Jesus was busy. He was on the earth for 40 days. He appeared at least to 500 people one time and more than that. And there's a lot of proof of eyewitnesses. But notice this. Jesus is a gentleman. He is not going to force his way into your life. You're the only thing in God's creation that can say no to God. But when you realize the real thing, let's get into chocolate. Somebody last year decided to play a really hurt listen to my sermon, which I'm not used to that. Okay? And so, sorry, I'm not trying to insult you kids. I know I made a mistake. Our oldest, when he was a kid, hey, let's feed him steak on his first birthday. We wouldn't take hot dogs after that. Okay? And because you got quality. And so in my office is a two-year-old Palmer chocolate bunny. And I was getting kind of hungry for chocolate, but I wasn't that desperate yet. Okay, to go, I don't even want to call that my, somebody gave it to me for a joke. Okay, but what I want you to tell this, when I want chocolate, I want the real thing and I want quality. You are designed for a quality relationship with God. And when you realize the real thing after you've had the wax chocolate, you eat that, I'll take the Lindor. And that's what they saw. What they heard in Jesus and what they saw was the real thing. I want you to understand this. You are seeking the truth. You are seeking the way. You are seeking the life. And only everything else is waxy chocolate until you find Christ. And so that's why he's not going to stop unless he's not going to make you. He's going to keep walking until you say, hey, why don't you come back here? And Christian, I want you to realize, most people come to Christ, their long-term conversation, and Jesus sent out the 70, and he said, go and find the person of peace. And as long as they keep talking to you and keep inviting you in, you keep going through those doors. And if they don't, you dust your feet and you go on to the next one. He's a gentleman. He's not going to make you do anything. If you go to hell, it's your choice. And I don't want to hear this, how can a loving God gave a son. It is all on you. But if you taste and see for the Lord is good, how blessed is the man who finds refuge in him. Psalms 34, 8 tells us that. When you taste the real thing, you want the real thing. Amen. So much so, they urged him. They constrained him, stay. And then notice what happens when we invite the life in. They remember. They'd broken bread. They'd been with him 3 years. The Lord's Supper. He reminded them. They remembered of his broken body, his spilt blood, and they saw and recognized the life, Jesus Christ. Your next fill-in. On the road of life, you find life when you invite Christ. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot of preachy Christian things, invite Christ in your heart. Well, that's not too Christian to me. What it is pretty straight. The heart is the core. The heart is what you do when nobody's around. The heart is the real you, the center of your life. And when you invite him in, Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Today, we'll have a time of invitation here in a little bit. You can come forward, you can talk to us afterwards, or talk to someone who knows about Christ in your life, but that's what it's about. And once you've done that, you are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit, but you need to follow Christ every day and put him first. And I didn't say be perfect, but invite him in every area of your life. Billy Graham, the study we talked about and did a while back, My Heart, Christ Home, he enters your life, but sometimes we leave him in the entryway of our life. And then we let him into the living room, or we let him in this, but you can't go in there. That's where I keep some pretty bad stuff. And Jesus is a gentleman. He'll say, we can get closer, and I can help you with that if you open that door. Mm-hmm. Invite him in for salvation. Invite him further in as you follow him as Lord. When we find the life, it changes us. Look at verse 32 through 35. They said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." And they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Notice verse 32. Their hearts were burning. Their lives were consumed with the consuming fire of life, Jesus Christ. A passion. Sometimes, well, I felt good when I got saved, and that's great, but guess what? Feelings leave. Passion doesn't. You go to Voice of the Martyrs, and those people were being tortured for their faith, and it didn't feel good. And we all wonder, how would we do if we stood against those things? We've got to realize it's not about our feelings. It's about, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey. I'll take Christ and that passion. That's why we call it Passion Week and the Passion of Christ, because it's the fact that he's committed, regardless of feelings, to true, real life. The Holy Spirit is sealed in us. It starts that fire in us. And we notice what happens next. They have faith in Christ, and that faith changes to life. And that faith changes to acts. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That's my theme for this year for myself. Talking about just do it. You know what's right, do it. I don't do it to be saved. I don't do it to stay saved. I do it because I am saved. And because I'm either going to live a fake life or live the life. Amen. And the Christian life is a life of action. It's a life of getting up. And just do it. And notice, they got up that hour and they went and told. And they went to show the way. They went to tell the truth and they were living the life. Your last fill in, living the life means evangelism. Telling the good news is a natural part of life. Acts 4:20 says this, we could not stop talking about the wonderful things we'd seen and heard. Some of you, that scared you to death. Because I love evangelism programs, but we scare people out of it one way or another. You got to tell it all. You got to love everything at once. Go by the Holy Spirit. Point to Jesus. Be a part of people's lives. It should be natural. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like at my age and where I'm at in ministry, God is putting me in front of more people to share the gospel. And I'm not talking about preaching in front of a congregation. I'm talking about in life. And it's not because I'm Russell or I'm something special. It's because it's natural that they seek and see the life in you all. Talk about that song, Hide Your Light Under a Bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. But American Christianity is under attack. And so therefore, we feel like we got to be undercover Christians and we're glowworms. We're kind of glowing. And they can still see there's some life there. Take the cover off. Love people. Talk to people. They can see that you have real life. Go for it. You know you want to. Evangelism is a natural part. They got up. Some of you, it's like, yeah, it's time. And I don't mean go to Easter dinner and just give them a sermon. Just love people. Build relationships. Listen to them. Listen to their story. Tell your story, then tell the story. I didn't put a time limit on that. Could be years. Could be seconds. So the question I have for you today, are you living an ice cream kind of life? I'm sorry, I just don't like Sonic ice cream. Okay, all right, but are you living that? Because that's not real life. What life are you seeking? What way are you going? What truth are you seeking? Jesus said in his own words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." As we stand on our feet and have a time of invitation, the Holy Spirit has spoken, not me. Hopefully the Holy Spirit has said something to you. And the question is, are you living the life? Are you following the way of Christ? Are you seeking the truth that is Christ? For some of you, you need to get saved. And if you want to come forward and do that, or afterwards, do that. But for a lot of us today, we're hiding and we're going back to whatever. Go for it. Because you have a lost, dying world that doesn't get what's going on here today. That He is the resurrection and that He is the life. And they're just living in the shadow lands until they receive Him. Lord, however we need to be obedient to You, may we live the life that You have provided through Christ. In Your name, Jesus. Amen.